Donald in the kitchen talks about food. Donald in the kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintos.
We gather here once a week to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions, and we gather here around our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, Iowa. The center of Ames, the center of the state, and the center of it all. Yes, welcome to our table. Today on the Donalana Kitchen, we're going to talk about things to love. We're going to talk about chocolate. And I've got a cookie recipe to share lately. But love, this actually does happen to be Valentine's Day.
Yes, we are recording this on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that comes around every now and then. So think about your Valentine and think about everything else you love. It's not just one person. It can be a whole community. It can be loving what you do. It can be loving your whole family and the family around the world, too. Love takes many forms. This is a poem. It's a love poem about food. This poem was recorded on the Donalana Kitchen way back in 2015. We have been at this a while. And the author is Brenna Dixon. She was part of the Iowa State University Creative Writing Program at the time, and I got to know her. And this poem is about her love for food.
This is the aptly titled Pineapple, a Love Poem. Oh, pineapple, you sit before me so round, so knobby, green tuft rising out of the fruit of you, and I want you, want to suck you down and peel you clean. I want the sweetness of you between my teeth. I want you in pieces before me, honest and bare. I want to consume you, all of you, in one sitting. I want you on my porch in the heat of summer, sweaty and tart. I will love even the core of you, the tough middle everyone throws away. I want to mix you with sticky rice, freeze you with chili powder so I can eat you as paletas. I want you in all forms, on all days, always. And when you're gone, just empty skins at the bottom of my trash can, I'll go to the store and buy another for $3.89.
So, pretty steamy there to start out the show.
For Donalana Kitchen, yeah.
And that was about a pineapple.
Eating is a very sensual pleasure.
It is a sensual thing, and we're going to kind of celebrate that today because there's things that we love, things we want to share. This is the time of year for Valentine's Day, and we think about sweets for your sweet, etc. Donna, what's the latest news about chocolate?
Well, you know, I love chocolate, so this is very disconcerting news. We were all set to do a big chocolate show for Valentine's Day, and then I open up the Times. I believe it was on Sunday. It had a big headline, "Do I Need to Avoid Dark Chocolate Now?" Of course, I clicked on it right away.
Heaven forbid.
I know, because I must say, I'm a big muncher of very dark chocolate, and I was always feeling so virtuous about it because it's high in antioxidants, it's low in sugar, blah, blah. What could be wrong? Turns out a lot is wrong. Chocolate has high levels of lead, which is no, not good for you. Everybody knows, like, think of lead paint and all of those things, and it's a neurotoxin, blah, 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 and cadmium. So, here's the thing, and this is a fairly recent rumpus, although, in reading some of the backstories, it turns out that the cocoa companies have been aware of this for a long time.
Oh, it's not just lead didn't just show up. It's been there?
Well, they're two different, and of course, lead comes from one thing and cadmium comes from something else. So you've got two issues here, neither of which are particularly good for you. And I have to say the alarming thing. So this comes from two different companies. Consumer Report has tested like 28 kinds of chocolate, and they list the brand names and the concentrations of the lead and the concentrations of the cadmium. And then there's another corporate responsibility site called As You Sow, S E S-O-W, so, I think. So you can, you know, I just finally typed in heavy metals and chocolate and all kinds of stuff came up, right? The disconcerting thing is, it has nothing to do if the chocolate's organic. It has nothing to do with any of those things. The lead comes from, well, let's start with the cadmium. Cadmium is naturally occurring in certain soils. Some soils have more than others. So certain varieties of chocolate seem to pull more cadmium out of the soil. There are solutions to this that the growers could use. Some of them are picking the varietals that pull less cadmium out, but that'll mean, you know, they have to replant their cocoa plantations, not something they're going to do willingly or easily. And also there are certain growing practices that can keep the cadmium more in the soil and less in the plants, you know, different, the way they fertilize or don't fertilize, the way they use pesticides, et cetera, et cetera. So there's some jiggering that can be done by the cocoa growers. Now, you have to remember that most cocoa is grown, it has to be grown in tropical climates, right? So most of these are grown in fairly undeveloped. It is a big agricultural commodity. So they are grown in huge batches with heavy labor problems. And, you know, the farmers don't make very much. And most of the money is taken by the people that kind of distribute it. And, you know, they go and pick up the beans from the farmers and then they process it and then they deliver it. You know, it's not like Hershey is out there growing their own cocoa. They are buying from, you know, specific distributors. So lead is a little more problematic. It is not coming from the soil. It's coming from part of the processing. So when they process the cocoa beans, they kind of split them open. And this is my understanding. I could be kind of wrong, but it makes sense. Anyway, they end up, it's a fruit, right? It's a berry, it's a fruit. So they open it up and then it has to be dried and fermented. So in these rather non-industrialized countries where it's mostly grown, that means they just spread the fruit out apparently along the roadside because probably it's grown in kind of jungle conditions. So they're looking for flat open spaces. This is my guess, but from reading, that's what I kind of implied. And then the stickiness of the fruit that's drying and fermenting actually collects the lead from the atmosphere.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, now, this I did not read anywhere because nobody was willing to talk about this. They'll say, oh, well, it's certain industrial processes or, you know, we also have to remember that until fairly recently, gasoline had lead in it in this country. So third world countries probably still have lead in their gasoline. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. But anyway, somewhere for all these people living in these countries, there is air pollution that contains lead. And that goes into the cocoa beans. So, you know, something in that process has to change. And that is really up to the growers and the processors to do that. Actually, you know, like Hershey's and Calibo, they can ask for that, you know, but they're, of course, looking for the cheapest certain kind of product. So anyway, I went to both the Consumer Report and the As You Sow report, because they list the brand name, not only the brand name, but, you know, like, for example, if you're buying Choco Love, which is apparently owned by Hershey's, and it is an organic brand, but they have different flavors, all of which have different chocolates. So this I have not been able to discern yet. Obviously, chocolates coming from certain regions have higher level of contaminations. Well, nobody's exactly saying that. So I have not found a guide that says, well, don't eat the chocolate from blah, 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 blah. The higher the cocoa content, you know, like 85% will have more of those than, say, 60%, which is still fairly dark. So, you know, your solutions are, go, and I'm going to pursue this for myself because I'm not giving up my chocolate. Even if it kills me, right?
Oh, God.
Maybe that's why my memory is slipping, because I've been eating too much lead in my chocolate. Who knows? Oh, anyway, so if you go to either the Consumer Report or the As You Sow site, you can see which chocolates both of them list, because it's separate issues, the lead content and the cadmium content. And so you can pick not only the brand, but the particular bar in that brand that will tell you which ones maybe, and the other solution, of course, is to eat less. The overall takeaway from the articles that I was reading were that you need to maybe limit yourself to 1 ounce a day of dark chocolate. Okay, so your normal, like, you know, fancy bar, we're not talking to Snickers or something like that. Your normal fancy dark chocolate bar is around 3 ounces. Some are a little more, some are a little less. So that means you can eat a third of a bar every day. But, you know, I would urge you all to kind of do your research and try to pick the ones that were maybe lower in lead and cadmium.
It sounds like this is an opportunity. Okay, we know that there's a danger here. It seems like there's a danger here. This could also maybe help clean up some lead in some people's environment.
There is now, of course, pressure on the As You Sow site is, I've forgotten what kind of organization they are, but they're some kind of consumer advocacy, and they are working with something called the National Confectionery Association, which represents all the candy makers, right? So they are all kind of working on this, but as usual, it's consumer beware. All of the articles I read did say pregnant women should probably not consume this, the dark chocolate, nor young children. Because as we know from all the lead paint kinds of things, lead is particularly detrimental to developing brains. So if you're pregnant or you have young children, most young children are not huge dark chocolate fans, but be careful.
Yeah.
Just be careful. Actually children tend to like milk chocolate, which is lower because it has less of the cocoa bean in it. So there you go. That's such a bummer. And here we had, now after this, we're going to give you some wonderful chocolate recipes.
Well, see, we started out with the bummer news, but that just kind of goes along with all the other bummer news that's kind of going around. I mean, there's balloons flying, there's UFOs, there's gas stoves, and then there's our elected officials. I mean, it just goes on.
What are we supposed to do? It's a sad story. And for me, I was doubly shocked because usually I kind of use organic guidelines to mitigate some of the risks in our food system because organic foods have less pesticides and things like that in them and et cetera, et cetera. But with this issue, it has nothing to do with that. So, it's like pick your poison, so to speak,
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So. Oh, let's barrel on with some chocolate recipes. Well, there are some good things, and besides, there's other things you can do for Valentine's Day. But I really like chocolate.
You can make passion fruit meringues or something that has chocolate in it.
That's good.
Well, you're apparently buying roses is also no bueno because they're coming from Central America. This time of year, there's no flowers growing in Iowa, indoors and outdoors anyway. And all the roses are, the floral industry uses a lot of pesticides because growing perfect flowers.
I thought of that right away. Yeah. Oh, well, you can buy some. Well, those
no
roses,
flowers. No,
they're
no.
pretty hard.
And now
you've
got to be careful with the chocolate.
They're pretty, pretty hard fought, but that's good. We still have, other things we can eat
We can eat a little bit of chocolate, okay?
Okay.
On Valentine's Day, right?
It is good. Well, there is a lovely thing that Donna has sat down in front of me. It's a little tiny, it's a little espresso cup sort of size thing.
Yes, these are.
And it's got a spoon standing up in front, in it.
It has a Dimitas spoon standing.
It's a Dimitas spoon, a little cup. It's a little bitty sucker. It's just great. Beautiful. What have I got in front of me, Donna?
Well, it's small, which is good because it's less chocolate, right?
All right. Okay. It's small.
So this is called a pot de crème, which is spelled P-O-T-S-D-E-C-R-E-M-E, which means a pot of cream. Okay? This is There are lots of ways to make this rich, delectable little thing. But I love this recipe. This is on the King Arthur baking website. So you can all just look it up and find it. It's called Quick Pot de Creme. And really, I'm telling you, if you have forgotten to make a Valentine's Day present, you could whip this one up. It does have to sit in the fridge for 2 hours, but it's so quick to make. So here's the deal. I'm going to read it through it. But you look it up because it's right there. It's so easy. You take a cup of, they say semi-sweet chocolate chips, and I usually use dark chocolate, bittersweet, but I guess I better go back to the semi-sweet because there's less cocoa. Anyway, 1 cup of chocolate chips, 1/8 teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and then they say, of course, because it's King Arthur, 1/2 teaspoon of their espresso powder, which I use a lot in baking, and I always, if I'm making something chocolate, I almost always put a little coffee in it. It's not that you're going to get it mocha flavored. It's that coffee flavor is going to dive in there. And actually, it's a way of making your chocolate a slightly more bitter without adding more cocoa. Mm. It does give a depth to it. So anyway, you put those ingredients, the chocolate chips, a little bit of salt, little bit of sugar, and a tiny little bit of their espresso powder. Now, you could use some other espresso powder. And then you put it into the food processor, and you just kind of grind it till it's, you know, till the chips break down into kind of a, well, it's still dry, but.
Is it like crumbly or dust?
Not dust. Not dust. You don't have to go as far as dust, but no major crumbles. You don't want to, like, look in there and see the chocolate chips, right? Then what you do is you add 1 egg at room temperature, and then you turn the food processor on a little bit, and then it starts to goop up. Then here's the trick. You've got 1 cup of heavy cream, and you have heated it up just short of a boil. It says to 205 degrees. Of course, I don't measure it. I just get it. You know how when you've got, and don't take your eyes off the cream, you know, because it will boil over and make a huge mess. When it starts to get the little bubbles around the edge. So anyway, you've got all of these things in the processor, and then you just take the top, you know, where you have the pour spout, and you run the processor and you pour the cream in, and the heat from the cream cooks the eggs and melts the chocolate.
Wait, you put the cream into the processor or the processor into the cream?
You put the cream into the you know how there's a pour spout in the top, you take the little thingy out, you kind of, not all at once, but kind of, not too slowly, but you pour the hot cream in as the product is spinning around, and it emulsifies the whole thing, and boom, you've got it right there.
Well, isn't technology grand? That
sounds
easy.
It's so simple. And then I just put it in my cute little vintage espresso cups or Demitasse cups. But, I mean, you can serve, you want small things to serve it in because it is rich.
But believe me, I'm eating this, and believe me, it's rich. There's something on top of it, though, Donna. On top of
it? Step number two, and this is not in the King Arthur thing, but since it's Valentine's Day, whipped cream is a good thing to serve with it, right? It's a normal thing to put a dollop of whipped cream on top of the pot de creme. So since it's Valentine's Day, I put a little pomegranate juice syrup into the whipped cream and a little tiny bit of organic red food coloring. So we have pink kind of tart whipped cream on the top of it.
Oh, well, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, here we go.
Thank you.
So that's an easy, quick thing.
Good.
And you'll get your chocolate that way.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, so, since we started out this little section with a love poem to pineapple, I'd like to think a little bit more about another poem. And put it right in here. Now, most of us have heard about this poem. It is How Do I Love Thee, Sonnet 43.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we think we know this poem, and we hear somebody start launch into this thing, and we think, oh, that must be Shakespeare, or there's a lot of spoofs on it. And How Do I Love Thee, Let Me Count the Ways. But really, truly, it is a love poem, and it was written, guess what, during the Romantic period in England, when everyone was kind of swooning. This was written by a person named Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She was born Elizabeth Barrett in 1806 in Durham, England, and she was kind of sheltered as a young woman and not allowed out much, but she did write letters and got up a rather loving male correspondence with Robert Browning, another poet of the time, and they married, and I guess it was just, they just got on like house
fire. It
worked,
yeah.
They just, and so it was great. But anyway, this poem is often brought out for this season, and since probably not too many people are writing this or anything, I just want to read this because it is lovely. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, How Do I Love Thee, sonnet number 43. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seemed to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life, and if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
There. Okay, well, you got your pineapple or you got your husband, you know.
Yeah.
Something to focus your attention on.
It's good to kind of have that sort of thing happening. I like that. Well, I'll take this opportunity to say this is KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you have a Valentine to share this day with, or go out and find yourself one. It's not hard. There's a whole bunch of people out there that could use a kind smile, a little good news for Valentine's Day. That was a waltz played by the Barn Owl Band called Murr's Waltz. Donna, we've been talking about chocolate and, well, Engineer Mike and I are sitting here enjoying the pot au creme, which is most lovely, most lovely. What other chocolate kind of things have you been having good fun with?
There's been a lot of news lately. This was another headline I saw a couple of weeks ago. Silicon Valley is coming for your chocolate.
Oh, come on.
Well, if the real chocolate has too much cadmium and lead, they think they're going to replace it by something that they're growing in a petri dish, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it says,
it's an opportunity.
Yeah, well, You know, I don't know if the two stories are connected, but I wouldn't be too shocked, you know. They're saying that there's a company who's the scientists have isolated individual cells from the cacao plant and fed them nutrients, whatever the nutrients are. When the team had at least a couple of hundred grams, it treated it like a mass of cocoa beans. The cells were fermented, roasted, and ground into chocolate. Apparently, it tastes pretty good.
Really?
It tastes like chocolate. But this article does say a similar approach is behind the lab-made meat. The lab, you know, the lab meat, faux meat, which is, you know, it still sounds like science fiction to me, but... you can buy the plant-based burgers and all of that sort of cultured things, but chocolate is not life-sustaining, and our supply isn't currently running out. Why do we need this? Well, maybe they're going to try to sell it on the basis of that it has no lead or cadmium in it.
Oh.
I don't know, and nobody's saying yet, but, you know, given human nature, we'll see. It's some guy in California who founded the California Cultured in 2020. And he's saying it will take at least 4 years for them to get the process down where they produce enough. And what they're hoping to replace is not your fine, exquisite, single origin chocolate, but kind of the mass cocoa products for
M&M's.
Yes, M&M's, Snickers, all of those things that have chocolate in them. I don't know. I'm always a little skeptical, but you know, that's me. You just gotta.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's another chocolate story.
This guy's name wouldn't happen to be Willy Wonka, would it?
No, but there was a story which
what?
I forgot to mention. Golly, where was it? Somewhere recently. Two factory workers fell in a vat of chocolate.
Oh, come on.
No, it's true. And I hope it wasn't a fatality. I should have pulled the news article out. It was just so grim. And then in the press, of course, they were saying, are they going to file a Willy Wonka suit against them?
Of course.
But yeah. I mean, you know, it is a big industrial process.
I hope
it wasn't hot.
Was hot. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a vat of chocolate. But, of course...
Could be warm.
Warm.
I don't know. Anyway, Willy Wonka.
See? We people suffer for chocolate. Doggone it.
It is. Well, because it's... and actually, the growers tend to suffer the most because, of course, they get the least amount of profit for doing the most amount of work. So, the usual story. Watch for fair traded coffee. I mean, it is like coffee. Fair traded chocolate has some of that too. But look up the websites because some of the fair traded ones still are high in cadmium and lead. It doesn't have anything to do with any of those standards. It's a whole nother ballgame. So now there is a new chocolate.
Oh, good.
Ruby chocolate. You may start to see some pink chocolate bars. It's beautiful. It was, Ruby chocolate is a proprietary product created by Barry Callebaut, who's it's one of the biggest high quality chocolate companies. It's Belgian. And they're saying Ruby is the biggest innovation in chocolate in 80 years when white chocolate was introduced. So, but it actually comes from the Ruby cacao bean. It is a completely new taste experience, a gift from Mother Nature. Ecuador, Brazil, Ivory Coast like grapes for fine wines. Cocoa beans are influenced by the terroir in which they grow. Ruby cocoa beans can be found in Ecuador, Brazil, and Ivory Coast. And you can also, I've seen them, like, even at the Hy-Vee.
Really?
It is delicious.
The beans or the chocolate?
Already, the chocolate
already
bars.
Made.
The chocolate
yes.
bars. Yeah, mostly I've only seen chocolate bars. But it's a beautiful pink color. And it's... has more tangy, berry flavored than white chocolate. But my bet would be that it's probably, well, I don't know. We'll have to look on the list and see if Ruby chocolate is on the list.
Well, goodness. Well, again, we have to remember that food, except for Silicon Valley, grows on trees. So this is a different variety of cocoa bean.
It is. And it's, as I said, the first new variety of cocoa beans in 80 years.
Ha!
So everybody got really excited about it.
You mentioned white chocolate. I didn't realize that that was, 80 years, that's nothing as far as, I didn't realize that was relatively new. I thought, chocolate's been around for a long time.
Well, but apparently not white chocolate.
Oh, white chocolate is.
And I should have looked this up before I speak, but white chocolate mostly is white because it has, so it would probably not have lead and cadmium in it, I'm guessing, but white chocolate is mostly the cocoa butter rather than the cocoa solids. Don't quote me on this. Folks, we all got to do more research on this one. I don't know. I'm a little bit flummoxed because you don't take my chocolate away.
Yes. Rather, we thought this was just going to be all hearts and flowers here for Valentine's Day. And we realize there's a lot of
stuff. It's a complicated story. I mean, aside from the usual labor and trade issues that we've read about, both in the coffee and the chocolate business for years, there's all these new wrinkles. So enjoy your chocolate sparingly, apparently.
Well, good. Well, maybe just drink more beer. That's good.
I didn't notice they were equivalent, but
it could be like
some kind of trade-off.
You can't
take your pleasures where you may, right?
It makes a nice gift. Yeah.
Beer, yeah.
Okay.
Well, speaking of gifts, the other chocolate thing, which I usually make at Christmas and also at Valentine's Day, is fudge. I am a big fudge maker.
You can eat fudge anytime, and fudge is a good thing. Although, your fudge is usually made with really intense,
really dark chocolate. Yes.
I wonder what fudge would be like with the red ruby chocolate. That'd be kind of fancy.
I don't know. I haven't seen. I mean, because I make my, for making fudge, you have to have the solid cocoa. Either you chop it up, or else you use chocolate chips, and then you melt it down in a bain-marie, which is, for me, I just put an aluminum, stainless steel bowl over a pot of boiling water with the bottom of the stainless steel bowl not touching the water, because you can make your chocolate melt too quickly and then it loses its what they call temper, which
That's
means it's
right.
not shiny. And it gets unhappy and it separates and it gets kind of butter streaks in it and stuff like this. But my fudge recipe, here we go. Is I use 18 ounces of dark chocolate. You either chop it, or I just use chips because you just pour them in and it's less chopping, right? So that's, most chocolate chip packages are around 10 ounces, so you need a little bit, most of 2 cups. And then I add, I'm letting it start to melt in the double boiler, and then I add 2/3 cup of heavy cream, 1/2 cup of either corn syrup or agave, or sometimes if I want to flavor it, I'll use 1/2 cup of jam. If I want more fruit flavor in it, or even like yuzu flavor, I use that yuzu jam
instead of the syrup.
Yes.
Ha!
You need some kind of sweetener. and then after that, you can sort of, that's the basis of it. Then after that, I tend to add, I put in either cardamom, coriander. Sometimes I put in cinnamon. Then you can add nuts or cocoa nibs or vanilla or fruits. Chopped, like for Christmas, I often make what I call my fruit and nut fudge. So, and before you do all of this, you take some kind of Pyrex pan and like a rectangle one. And I just line it with aluminum foil. Because then once the thing is all melted, and of course you have to keep tasting it to get the flavor.
Okay,
you personalize your flavors.
Yeah.
Then when it's all melted and mixed in together, then I just pour it into the pan that's lined with aluminum foil, and you let it sit up till it gets, it cools. And as it cools, it hardens. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be hard, but that fudge kind of. Enough that when I serve it, I dump it out of the dish and I cut it into little squares and I put it in candy papers. And then that's how I usually gift it to people. I've been doing this year. Once it's poured into the pan while it's still wet, I take a little flaky sea salt, not too much. But if you like those chocolate bars that have flaky sea salt, it's really fun to put it on the top of the, just don't put too much, okay?
That's a good taste.
Yeah.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to those that like fudge. Good.
So that's another really easy thing to make. Now, I suppose we could reduce the chocolate flavor, the chocolate content by using sweeter...
Well, more jam, more ouzu, more...
Well, no, because if you change the...
Oh, that's right. You can't do that.
You can't change the consistency. You have to go with that 2/3 cup of cream, half a cup of either corn syrup or jam, and then 18 ounces of chocolate. That's what holds that, comes out the right consistency. But you could use a lighter chocolate instead of using bittersweet, which I have been using. You might go back to semi-sweet. And I also do put a little coffee in those sometimes, too, because that'll give you the depth of flavor. Without the chocolate, I guess. So, anyway, that's the dark fudge trick, and it's really easy, and people love it.
Yay. That's good. That's good. Well, I have a recipe to share, and it has no chocolate in it whatsoever. Yes, there is a world of baking out there that you don't even have to use any chocolate for, and this could be a Valentine's cookie or an anytime cookie.
Yeah, these look rather healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to think dark chocolate was healthy, but now we're going to have to take it.
All right.
It's going to go on the indulgence list, I guess.
This looks healthy. All right. This is called Douglas's Whole Wheat Jam Thumbprints. And the idea of a thumbprint cookie is there's this cookie, and you put your thumb in the middle of the cookie before it bakes, and you feel that little dimple with jam. And I used... I love making jam, so I've got a refrigerator full of odds and ends. But I used... ground cherry jam and elderberry.
This must be the ground cherry one.
Yeah, the ground cherries are kind of goldish colored, and the crabby elderberry is crab apple and elderberry
so good
together. It's good. Now the trick is to get a cookie that will stand up to this little dollop of jam as it's cooking, and
these have a wonderful texture.
Aren't they good? I've tried a thumbprint cookie before that had kind of a peanut butter cookie base, and I couldn't keep the darn things together. They kind of kept crumbling away on me. I think I've got a winner here.
This is perfect.
This is from a Food 52 recipe book I have, and the recipe is from a Swedish, rather exclusive, I hear, restaurant called Favakan. And one of the...
Yeah, very high-end.
Oh, very high-end. Mm-hmm. These aren't high-end. Matter of fact, this recipe starts out by saying, this is a testament to how rustic baking can be, because it has 4 cups of whole wheat flour. I used, I'll tell you the other things I used is whole wheat flour, a tablespoon of baking powder, a cup plus 2 tablespoons of sugar, 1 1/3 cups salted butter. Yes, go for the butter, folks. 2 large eggs, and then jam. That's it. What is nice about... nice, interesting. This is a get-to-know-your-recipe
Do you roll thing. Them in balls in your fingers
yep,
to put them...
The whole, actually, the whole thing is roll up your sleeves, beat the eggs, but roll up your sleeves, put everything in a bowl, and mix everything with your fingers.
Oh!
So it's mush, 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 gush, gush. So then you end
this
up...
This is good for children.
Oh, it's great. It's a wonderful mess. And then, yes, you take a little tablespoon at a time. And I put a little extra flour on the counter and made a ball and, again, rolled it in the flour on the counter in case I needed a little bit. It was a little sticky, so I used that. And then you put it on a baking sheet, you bake this.
Well, and then you stick your thumb in the middle,
and
right?
And then you stick your thumb in the middle, which is also fun. I mean, the recipe says, your hands are dirty anyway, so go for it. Put your finger in there, and just put a little dollop of jam in the middle, and it's good. Now, instead of, because I had it, I like mixing different flavors, and I had...
Of flowers.
Yeah. Mixing different flowers.
Well, I do want to add in, when you read a recipe like this mm-hmm. that says... Yes. Making cookies with whole wheat flour.
Yeah.
And I would fault them for not adding this in.
They didn't add that.
It is not bread flour. It's whole wheat pastry flour, which is a softer wheat, a completely different variety than the kind that you make bread out of.
Right.
It's still whole wheat because of the way it's ground.
But it doesn't have excessive gluten in it. You don't want stringy gluten. So the flour that I used was oat flour, corn flour, a little bit of rye flour, and a little bit of whole wheat pastry flour.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit of softness in it. And it was
fun to
make. Yes, you get all dirty. And it cooks really quickly, 400-degree oven. And you have to make sure to turn the cookie sheets as you go.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, it only bakes for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
so you can handle it.
Keep your eye
on
it, then.
But this is something we could actually taste the flour, because what is it? It's jam and butter and flour.
Well, and when you use these whole grain flours, you get a layer of flavor from the flour.
Yes.
That you know, if you're using gold metal, white sifted, da da da, it really doesn't have much flavor.
And maybe people think that's a good idea, but I would like to taste something. And mm-hmm. these are pretty darn good.
They are delicious,
whole
Lana.
Wheat jam thumbprint cookies. And they're pretty too, because there's the jam kind of sparkles in the middle there. And of course, it kind of runs all over the place too, but that's part of the charm. So that's my recipe for Valentine's Day, a good thumbprint cookie. Again, it's from, there's a collection of recipes from an organization called Food 52.
Food 52 is a culinary website. They do have recipes, and they will try to sell you all kinds of houseware products and kinds of things like that.
Beware. Just go for
very
the thumbprint
New
recipe.
York City kind of thing.
Oh, well then. Well, I think it's pretty good anyway.
But usually their recipes are good. Not always. I don't always agree with them, because they use a lot of different cookbook writers. So
yeah, they do. But so I've tried different ones, and this one works. And so I finally found a thumbprint recipe that I like.
Isn't this the same site that we get the adult birthday cake recipe from?
I think so.
I think it's Food 52.
I've got another Food 52 too. I get the adult birthday cake recipe from my friend Sue, but I think she got it from there.
I think if you Google adult birthday cake, it will come up. It is made with wine and olive oil.
Very good.
That's the deal. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Good things to eat. The foods we love. Yes. KHOI. This is KHOI, and you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about this fine radio station and more about Donna Lana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. Waltz around the kitchen with your cat.
Especially
if you have
today.
No one else. Yeah, waltz around with it. Enjoy. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. A waltz for Valentine's Day. We're talking about things that we love. And, boy, chocolate news and all sorts of things. But there's always good things to share with people that you love. Some other things to love. I love spring. I mean, I love winter, too.
It's been feeling springy.
Yeah,
I mean, they keep going, no, it's only the middle of February.
It is. But the light has changed. The sun is coming back.
Yes. It doesn't get dark at 5 o'clock any longer.
I think we'll make it, Donna. I think we will.
Oh, I hope so. And my cardinals have... Sometimes they overwinter, but I hadn't heard cardinals all winter. Now I'm hearing them again.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
It's heartening. It's very heartening.
Yeah, very good. One thing I like about, I usually take a sort of late evening walk around our driveway with with my dog because he needs that sort of outing that time of night. And so we take a little constitutional out there. And it's a good time to look up at the night sky. And I want to note that the Big Dipper is in a really interesting aspect right now. Theoretically, we can't watch it happen, but it happens day to day. It turns around the North Star. It really does turn around. But
so you can see it early in the evening now.
Well, I see it about 10 o'clock when I go.
Okay.
I mean, you can see it earlier, but it's off into the North Star. North part.
I'll go out and look because it's the only constellation I can identify, right?
And you may not be able to find it because this time of year, right now, it is standing on its tail.
Oh!
Because as it turns, you know, the whole thing turns around, and it looks like the tail is down on the horizon, and it looks a lot less like the Big Dipper than the Big Fly Swatter, actually. I mean, it's kind of sitting up there. But no, it is the Big Dipper. And it will turn around more, but it's still there. And, yes, it's spring. It does that every year. Also, I want to, you mentioned the Cardinals coming back. Because of things warming up, the wild things that are out there are starting to shake loose and...
I've noticed some of my bushes and things have buds swelling, and I'm going, no, guys, not yet, no, be careful.
They're coming, they're coming. In town last week, I was visiting your house, and there was a fox outside. Your dog was being ever so good and barking like dogs do. On the other side of the fence was a fox just looking at him, so there's fox out moving. And the other night, I got visited by a very cute opossum. I was reading with a cat on my lap and looked out the window to my left, and right outside the window, right on the railing, on the little deck there, possums are not really the cutest sort of creatures. They tend
the
to
littler the better. Right,
but this was a cute one, and it just sat there and I felt my cat kind of growing, and that hair went up and the tail went up, and the eyes got bigger, and it kind of slunk over there. And then, of course, the dog saw it, and all dickens went loose, and the world, oh, my.
Poor
but
little
anyway,
possum, yeah.
Yeah, the poor possum. He was just looking for something to eat and was probably very interested in the suet that I put out for the birds. So I take that in now during the evening because it does draw in those other kinds. Well, see, spring is on the way, and I want to encourage people to love local food. And this is a good time to get to know and get to love a farmer, because now's the time of year to look for a CSA, community supported.
Oh, yes. Do make your commitment for summer vegetables now.
Right. A good place to find out more about that, well, you can Google Community Supported Agriculture Ames, and a number of things will come up.
But your whatever community you're living in.
Or whatever community you're in,
Fairly widespread.
Yeah, on bulletin boards and whatever you see signs up. Now, consider supporting a farmer that way. And local food is a good thing, and you'll be part, even if you don't have a garden of your own, you will be part of
Let's explain what a CSA is. It means that you buy a share from the farmer, which is you're making a commitment to taking the vegetables that they grow for the whole season. Then once the things start to ripen, and of course there's a whole parade of things all summer long, you get a box of whatever your farmer has grown, fresh from the garden.
And probably what I hear is this is an awful funny thing to complain about, but people complain about, oh, it's too much food, too much fresh food, too much good fresh from the garden. Should we have so many things to complain about? That's one of the things. But share it with a friend. Do. So now is the time to look for a community-supported agriculture and consider being part of that. Now is also the time to order chicks. If you're going to, with the price of eggs, everybody thinks they're going to have chicks now, chickens in the backyard, and they're wonderful things to have. However, because of the bird flu going on, I mean, there were huge amount of chickens that had to be destroyed because of epidemic of sickness going through. So I ordered my chicks early this year, but even if I did, I noticed on the websites and on the order, sold out, which is pretty amazing for, I ordered early January. Ooh. That, and usually I think of getting chicks, oh, let's have them delivered along about March. That's good for me. You can get chicks anytime, but. So, and I've also talked
well,
to other
people.
Well, I guess
they've killed all the mother hens off, so
yeah,
we're not
there
getting...
There you go.
Well, maybe you better get a rooster for the chickens that you do have.
Yeah. So, order straight run. It's also straight run if you want a mix of both, and then you end up...
Oh, straight run means you get...
Both.
Ungendered.
Ungendered. Or you can order a rooster, too. That's fine. That's fine. Actually, I think I'll keep my old rooster because he's a good old boy, so we'll see. But so I ordered 2 dozen chicks, and I...
Right. You can end up with too many roosters.
You can't... Oh, not too many because that's called... Putting them into chicken soup. That is not too many roosters.
Oh, okay.
One has to be a little bit hard-hearted about this. But, yes, you don't want a whole lot of roosters. So it's a time to order chicks. Get on it because I've noticed that it's going to be kind of hard to order chicks. Ah, and also order seeds this time of year. I have also ordered my seeds mid-January because last year...
We had a shortage of seeds during the pandemic. Everybody was home gardening.
Everybody's gardening. And so I ordered seeds, and things are good, and I'm starting to get the seeds coming in. So, yes, seeds are coming.
Okay, Lana, here's my annual question. How many varieties of tomatoes did you order this year?
I counted them up. I have 25 varieties.
How modest of you.
It is modest.
It's usually in the 30s.
It is usually. Although I have some seeds that I'm sort of, that I saved from last year that are kind of experiments. So, another maybe 5 or 6 varieties.
Oh, okay. So you're going to hit your 30 mark again.
I'm fooling around with some. But anyway,
I'm looking forward to all of these.
Think ahead because little spring will be here. Order seeds. Yes. Yeah. And some of my favorite places to order seeds are Seed Savers Exchange, Fedco Seed Company, Johnny's Selected Seeds. There's a really nice organization called Seeds from Italy. They have a good website.
Oh,
and so that's good. Anyway, get on it. It's a good thing. Well, I want to mention that this last weekend I went to the Mustard Seed Community Farm Art Show. And Mustard Seed is a farm that is north of Ames. They do a lot of good community outreach.
They're a Catholic workers' farm.
They're a Catholic workers' farm. They feed a lot of people and have good experiences for a lot of people. There were artists and poets and musicians, and a real fun evening. The art show is up for a while, and it is at the Harvest Vineyard Church. Yes, in Ames, and it's up for a while. But you can contact the church to get in and see it. But I wish to kind of end this with a thought about love in general from what it says on their art show poster here. Imagine a feature based on love, cooperation, and justice, a shift in our economic cultural mindsets and our hearts and minds, where we see all our fellow humans and our waters, soil, and fellow creatures all as sisters and brothers of equal worth and dignities. Love, it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yes, and love is a verb, so be active with it.
Be active. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can join us next week right here, Tuesdays at noon, live or repeated at 7 p.m. on this fine radio station, KHOI. Or you can go to their website and you can stream. You can go to our archive there and find out way more than you want to know.
And our podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just dial up Donna Lana Kitchen.
And we can be right there for you. Thank you for joining us around our kitchen table today. Support community radio. We had music by the Barn Owl Band today. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
And as always, excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.